A lot of what's written here I've already discussed this weekend, so I'm just going to talk about it quickly. A healthy heart chakra, a healthy chakra spins in a clockwise direction. Okay? It is a chakra that is spinning clockwise, right-hand rule, is a chakra that both receives and can receive and give at the same time. A chakra that spins counterclockwise is actually, nothing really is getting, it seems like it's projecting, but what's really happening, it's like we call that projection, where you're literally saying, no, you're what I think you are. But what's happening really is that it's where the chakra's really stuck. It perceives only in one dimension, and it's really it's the reverse is actually a drain of that chakra. That chakra doesn't have any power in it when it's in the reverse. Okay, it's using its power against itself. It's sort of turning against itself. So we want chakras to spin in a clockwise direction. This whole healing is based on the premise of what the heart actually does, and all of you got the video that I sent out on how the zeal point speaks your truth and the life purpose line is connected to through the heart. The spiritual life purpose point is here, and so we access it through the heart. When the heart comes into balance, when we come into balance with our crazy chakras, then our life purpose makes much more sense. When we come into balance around our profile, so we start looking and saying, okay, why do I have that first chakra around my creative idealist? Why do I have such a crazy first chakra that it hardly touches the earth? You know, why do I have, you know, the second chakra that has softer, more delicate feelings, but not the really robust passion feelings that others have? Because my creative idealist, I just don't need those. It's not part of my mission. Enthusiasm in the heart, different, but it's not real passion for me. I'm passionate, but not like a charismatic leader's passionate, where you get sort of bowled over by the passion. But each one of your chakras, as you recognize and you come into balance with those, and those come into balance, and you recognize why I have the chakras I have. Why I have the staff I have and the friends I have. But once those things come into balance, then you really are in the heart and there's self-love, what happens is that you notice that there's something deeper than that. There's some deeper awareness. And that's this calling of this life purpose, is of bringing this solidity, this deeper level of solidness, this parts of you that just haven't changed. Your life purpose doesn't change. You can break it off from its spiritual guidance. You can snap it away from its purpose on earth, but it doesn't change. You can just become dissociated. You can break your hara line, your life purpose line, away from the Godhead and away from the earth, but all that happens is that you are a person that wanders around the earth having no clue what your purpose is. And so then that person needs to go back to their chakras and say, okay, what do I need to feel here? How do I need to, you know, who am I? What's going on? And as you start loving yourself more and more, you start becoming aware of this deeper calling here. And that calling, this life purpose that you start noticing and feeling, it's like, why am I always called to this? Why is this always coming to me? Why are these things? What you start noticing is that there's a quality, there's a deeper even quality than that, and that's the soul quality. And so the doorway to the soul is from the heart through the life purpose and then down into the soul, because the soul has to have a doorway. There's no connection between the soul directly and the chakras. Okay, it needs a vehicle to get here. It's on such a different plane. All right. The life purpose line is on a very different plane too, but it's much closer. It's like your marching orders here on planet Earth. It's really around planet Earth. Your soul isn't earthbound in any way, shape, or form. And it doesn't really, it needs a vehicle to get to you, to be felt, to be understood. And so the life purpose, the spiritual life purpose point, with a high thymus, is that point. And so part of being able to access your life purpose and your soul is opening the heart. And so when we talk about why it's important to understand these heart principles and really recognize how wounding and this heart, this healing really changes this wounding pattern, the people that come to you as to get healed are usually wounded in a number of different ways. And many, many people, most people on this planet, run their heart backward, run their heart chakra as a more of a sort of a dumping ground for the wounds in the chakras. And so we just to review what we've talked about so far is we in the first chakra you have all of your vows. And you'll stick a vow in here that says, family comes first. And you have other vows, and you stick all these vows in here, and those vows really block up the works. They stop the chakra from spinning, they shorten it, they get it smaller, or they just clog it. And so a vow in that chakra doesn't let it flow anymore and starts actually pushing it in a contrary, sort of a counter. I already know what's supposed to be happening. That's a projecting chakra. All right. So a counterclockwise chakra will project. It'll say, that's just the rules. That's just the way it is. Take care of family first. Well, but where do you come in after that? That's the law. And you might not, rationally, they could come up to six chakras and say, well, I don't really believe that, but you look at your actions and you do. And those laws, those become laws. Right, and so those laws around that, and then laws in here around how you connect to other people emotionally and sexually, how you manage money, how you manipulate and control people through your various different powers that you have in your life. All these things you vow to either do that or not do that or never be. I'll never, you know, whatever happened in the back of the second chakra. I will never be greedy, you know, sure, you know, but I won't. I won't ever be greedy. I won't be caught being greedy. So these things you start hiding in the second chakra and doing these things. But this, once again, and in each of these things, and the same thing with the take care of others before I take care of myself in the third chakra, always be good, always win, always, you know, whatever it is, or never be seen as selfish. Never selfish. I'll never be selfish. Third chakra with other people. I'm always, always altruistic. I give away. So all of these chakras start spinning in sort of a counterclockwise way, or they just get clogged. And they're doing it from wounds. The wound was that you didn't get love if you didn't love the family first. You didn't get loved when you were selfish, okay, or manipulative or controlling. You didn't get loved, you know, and love is the number one wound. Not being loved, not being seen, not being understood. Those are the ones that hurt the most. Those are the ones that did the most damage. Okay? And even if you had, and by the way, rape or sexual molestation is a third chakra issue. Okay? It's really important to understand that. A lot of people place it in the second chakra because it's sexual. It has nothing to do with sex. It's a dominance issue. You were dominated. You were yourself was negated at a level when that happens that is enormously powerfully transformative, and you will vow against that, and who I am will never be that. And so and for guys getting beaten up, men, and sometimes it's sexual wounding as well, but often with guys it's that they got beaten up, they got picked on, they were abused physically, and that's like a physical rape. That is telling you, I will tell you who you are. You don't have any control over this, but it's the lack of heart in that really hurts. What hurts you is the closed heart. When someone has a closed heart, it hurts, and so all these lower chakras get wounded in lots of different ways and make vows, and what they do is. Every vow you take to be not half of you closes the seventh chakra a little bit more, 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 until really the seventh chakra just creates a big block. I can't be me. I can't have any possibility of being infinite possibility. I have to be this structure. These things have to be true for me to survive. And so the seventh chakra has to close. And simultaneously, whenever I'm only picking half of myself, the heart's closing. It's, you know, it's closing down, it's closing down, it's closing down, closing down, until finally it's just like, it's like, I got nothing. I don't love myself anymore. This isn't love. Making myself a perfect human being, making myself do things that are appropriate, that's not love. That's slavery. And so the heart closes down too. So these two elements of your body close, and by the way, they need each other to be open. So what happens at that point is that all of these things down the lower chakras basically become how you think, how you see the world. I see the world through my wounds. All my world will be seen through these wounds, because that's how I'm going to perceive myself. I vow to never be greedy. What do you see in the world? Greedy goddamn people. I didn't do that. I would never do that. They're the bad ones. So all you see is greedy people. And all you see is how you're sacrificing and what a wonderful sacrifice you make for not being greedy. But that's what you see. And so you're seeing, you're perceiving the world, your vision of how you can create the world can only be based on your wounds. When there's no possibility anymore, because you've already limited that by these wounds, you then start seeing this. And then what does your voice say? What does your creative center do? Your creative center just speaks the words and recreates it. And tell someone, I would never do that. You're the bad one. Let's sue them. So this, and ultimately what ends up happening is that all of these ways of operating, this is woundology. This is what woundology looks like. When we were talking about woundology last night, this is what it looks like in the energy body. It's ugly. And what it's actually doing is that it, because the heart, it knows, needs to love you, it starts associating that love is honoring your wound. So someone comes in here, and you know that they have, let's say they, you know, I don't know, just something simple. They had their dog hit by a car, and it's in the hospital. It's being, you know, and they come in here. Now you're in here having a party, and you're like, yeah, we're having, you know, you're dancing, and you're having there, everybody's having a great time, and it's just like fantastic. This is awesome. You know, person walks in. What happens to the party? If you love them, you are going to shut down the party and honor their wound. Right? Yeah. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Oh, we're so sorry. We are so sorry that we were having a party when you were having such a trauma. Were we bothering you? Right? The biggest wound trumps all things. Now just imagine if they had even a worse scenario. Now that's what you're doing in your body. The biggest wounds trump all other actions. And so what happens is that the heart, which is supposed to allow you to experience life and to see you as this invincible soul, which you are, it now sees you, it now honors your wound as your primary element of your persona. And what happens is that in a counterclockwise way, all of these chakras are dumping into the heart saying, "You, this is the truth, this is who I am." So all of these chakras are counterclockwise, sort of spinning in a negative. It's like, and I, the way I envision it is literally the heart becomes like a drain for all of this pain and suffering to sort of like, okay, I'll take care of it. I'll love you. I'll still love you. Yes, the wound was so terrible. Yes, you can never get over that. Don't ever get over that. That's okay. You never have to get over that. You can always be wounded. This is all right. I love you. I love you. I love you. It's okay. Oh, you poor little thing. You poor little baby. You can't, you'll never get over that. That's okay. I'll be here for you. Your heart will always love you, even when you're crazy. Even when you're running your system completely backward. So, that's the ugly nature of someone who comes in wounding. And when you are in woundology, when you think that your wound should give you some sort of right over someone else's happiness, just notice that if you are asking other people to lower their expectation around you, what have you already done to yourself? That's the system. And so this healing begins with acknowledging the heart as being the center of power, not the lower chakras, not the thinking apparatus. These are secondary functions that must have the heart, or they create their own little fiefdoms and force the heart to support their craziness. But if the heart loves them, if the heart is the power, then what we do and this is what the healing is. These are great for healing. Start with erasing all the vows, all the dumb ideas. Okay.
Back of the two.
Back of the two. That's my problem. There's your problem. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to fill the heart first, full. And it will be moving in, and it moves in a clockwise direction. We're going to be filling it from front and back and expanding it. And by the way, if you're working with someone who has had any type of heart condition, heart attack, whatever, do not send. Just hold in yourself. Hold your own spiral. Fill yourself. Allow them to fill as much as they are capable of filling. Okay? Do not send into their heart. Okay? Unless you've done a lot of work with them and they've shown that they can receive energy in the heart. What happens there is what you're doing at this point is that you're reminding the heart, you're calling it forward to remember it's that universal love, this love is just this radiating quality that comes out of you. It is not something you then admonish, I love you for this, or I love you for that. There's nothing like that. There's no object love. There's no wounding. The heart just is love. And then what will happen is that you're going to then connect that down in that spiral through the third chakra. Okay, so we're going to be connecting. That spiral is going to start getting bigger. And it goes through the third chakra. Then it's going to come up, and we're going to connect it to the fifth chakra. And so we're going to love. We love, we feel the infinite love. And then we love the quality of being a unique individual. That love is radiating through us. It's radiating out through us as a unique individual. We speak the truth of that unique individual as that heart opens up. So my uniqueness, my quality, my core quality begins to speak. That comes down. And it moves into the passion and the pleasure and the joy of being, loving, enjoying your sensations, letting in all of the feelings of life. And then all the way around, we're going to be sending that all the way around, and the spiral goes up into the sixth chakra, where we begin to see and perceive those passion, the sense of self, the words, the description. We start seeing the world through the eyes of love, rather than the eyes of defense. Because that whole negative spiral is what you're doing when you're in defense. The world doesn't exist anymore. My wounds do. You are just a projection of my wound. In this, you start seeing the world literally as it is, in the moment, accepting it, embracing it, seeing the truth. You start looking in people's eyes. You stop projecting onto them some other person that they look like or that they remind you of. Everything's brand new in your eyes when the heart's open. Then all the way down to the first chakra. And in the first chakra, you literally find this love of your form. Any of you that have arguments with your bodies, why? Where did that come from? Your body is every cell in your body loves you. And it works on love and harmony. There's not one part of you that doesn't just worship you, but you have the biggest criticism of it. When the heart's open, you can feel all of your body, how it works so beautifully. Even when it has little aches and pains, those aches and pains are reminding you, rest a little bit, take care of this, do some work, go see your chiropractor, something. So you're going through that, and then finally it comes all the way up, and it comes into the seventh chakra and opens and reopens the seventh chakra. So your heart has to make it safe to be you, safe to speak your heart's truth, safe to feel what you really feel, safe to see the world as fresh and new and alive, and safe to be here right now in this moment. And once those things are now safe to do that, and the heart has healed, even if it's only for a minute, your need to defend yourself against your wounds, at that moment the seventh chakra opens up. So now this whole spiral is filling the whole energy field. It comes in the seventh chakra and opens the seventh chakra up, and at that point you open up to the spirit, the guided, you know, the infinite possibility of the heart. And at that point also, that's when the spiritual life purpose point begins to open. Without the seventh chakra open, without connection to spirit, you can't connect backward into the life purpose. You can't connect to the spiritual realms at all. So someone who's closed in the seventh chakra, which is many, many people on the that say that they are highly spiritual, they aren't highly spiritual, they're religious. The laws of the religion are far more important than spirituality. There's no other option. This is a closed person. Even many of the people that you know that are New Agers. The New Age has a very strict set of rules. Very strict. And even though it seems like I'm constantly filling, they're filling their sixth chakra with all sorts of mumbo jumbo, but they're not opening their lives to the fact that the life in front of me is my spirituality. This is what I got to deal with. I don't want to escape. I don't want to go anywhere. So when this happens, it comes down into the heart, and this creates a circuit. And what happens at that point is that you become aware of where the heart gets its power from. This life purpose opens up, and that life purpose opens up even deeper into the soul. And you realize that the heart, its infinite power comes because it is the voice of the soul. And the soul energy is infinite and always filling you. It is a radiating quality. Remember we talked about the heart is the radiating quality? Well, that's the soul itself. When your heart radiates its love, it is radiating the soul. Now, that's an infinite well of energy. The chakras, when the heart's not open, have to get their energy from food, from water, from all these outside things, from acceptance, from approval. All these chakras need outside things to know that they exist. The heart has this infinite well of energy that when it's the source of your power, you never tire. They say that the saints they didn't eat. They didn't need food. They would go long, long periods of time without any nurturance other than God, other than this soul. And so when you are getting exhausted, it's because you're running your energy backward. When you are full of self-love, you will find that you rarely get tired. Because this system, what it happens is that it creates a continuous loop. It goes all the way through the whole body, and then re-enters the seventh chakra and reawakens the heart and starts over again. Okay? This link between the seventh chakra and the fourth chakra, and by the way, those of you that have learned Reiki, all Reiki does is it opens the seventh chakra, it sticks a symbol in there, you know, whatever those little symbols are. It's like a door jam. And when that door jam's in there, it lets energy sneak in that wouldn't normally sneak in, and of course, as soon as it sneaks in, it opens the heart up, and Reiki energy flows down your arms. They call it Reiki energy, but it's just your life force. It's not Reiki energy, it's energy. It's your soul that snuck in because you have such a closed seventh chakra. So Reiki is the sort of like the cracker of the seventh chakra. It's a great introduction to healing because of that. It teaches you how to open your heart. So if you haven't done any Reiki, try it. You'll notice that this is you're moving this. There's no difference between Reiki energy and what we're teaching you here. When you move heart energy, you're moving Reiki energy, because you can't move heart energy until you open the seventh chakra. Now, organically opening the seventh chakra by beginning to love yourself is, I think, a healthier way than just sticking a symbol in there. I'm not suggesting that Reiki is a bad thing. I'm just saying that you can learn to do Reiki and send energy like this, but you don't have to change your life. I would prefer that you change your life and notice that you all of a sudden start radiating all of that heart energy naturally, because it's what you hold for yourself. And you're not just about healing other people. You realize that healing yourself is the Reiki you're trying to do, is what you want. Yes?
In one of the first few classes, you had said that Reiki is from the top down and ours is from the ground up.
From the ground up, right. Top down. So Reiki comes into the seventh chakra, hits the heart, comes out your arms, and it's beautiful heart energy. It's specific to opening the heart. Ours works from ground up. We have to remember that we're human beings. Most of the issues that you have are physical, emotional, or self-esteem issues. I mean, most of the people that show up are not dealing with some sort of a, you know, it's not, you know, their sixth chakra issue, if they're having migraines or things like that, those are based on the wounds down here in the lower chakras. And so this healing is about bringing somebody back into this place. And so we do ground up. The most important thing is to be a good human. Let's get those lower three chakras in order. Having upper chakras that are all spinning and doing things great, when you hate your body or hate yourself or can't deal with relationships or, you know, don't have your passions, this is ground up healing. So it starts with the ground up. Of course, it's full spectrum. So we also come from the top down, but it starts with this first year. All your healings are ground up healings. The last healing you learn this year is the first step into the spirit world. And we teach you the life purpose line healing. And that's a very powerful healing. It comes from a very different place. It's more intentional. And so that's where the upper chakras need to be spinning on top of a powerful base to be able to hold that healing. You cannot do this healing until you've got some legs in the lower chakras. Does that make sense?
Well, you said it was the same energy as the Reiki energy. So I was just...
Well, heart energy, right. Reiki energy is heart energy. It's beautiful. And there's nothing, when somebody is wounded around the heart, Reiki energy is absolutely, I mean, those of you that do Reiki know, I mean, it is incredibly transformative. When someone needs heart energy, that unconditional love energy, they get that from Reiki. Sometimes the person doing the Reiki work is allowing the symbol to do it, and just like, I'm just letting, and just symbol and go, you know. And how much more heart energy would there be if you also were feeling your own heart, your own love, and all the work that you've done to work through your heart, your own heart issues, and have that much more compassion for this person working through theirs? So that's the next step. All right, so we need to do the, let me walk you through the healing very quickly. So let me have somebody on the table here.
That's good.